Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 10. Hear the word. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a scrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness and in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart, to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. And our second scripture comes from the book of Luke. Luke 6, 17 through 26. Hear the word of the Lord. He came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for the power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come this day hearing your word. And we ask, Lord, that it would guide us and lead us and help us to grow in what we know of you, to grow in our faith, to grow your kingdom. Watch over us, Lord, as we seek to live out these scriptures in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. Amongst Jesus' teachings, there are a few that really stand out. The first, of course, is that great and well-known sermon of Jesus. And if you really want to know, it's really the Sermon on the Mount. Chapter after chapter, teaching after teaching comes. Think about this. Of all the teachings of Jesus, how many are chapter and chapter and chapter? Two. There is the well-known Sermon on the Mount, and then we have Luke's lesser well-known Sermon on the Plain. So, Sermon on the Mount, Sermon on the Plain. Now, the crowd here is gathered from many walks and places. They've come from Judea, the region around Jerusalem, and then way, way up in the north on the coast. They have come from near and far, far and wide to hear what Jesus is going to say. to see what he can do, to be healed, to be helped by Jesus. The power is so great in this moment of what is going on that people just want to touch Jesus. Think about that. The power of Jesus is so apparent to the people who are gathering that all they want to do is reach out and touch him. The atmosphere, so to speak, is crackling with anticipation, crackling with what's going on. Jesus' power is on full display. But then think about this. We don't hear about the great and grand miracles that Jesus is doing. There isn't a great story about what Jesus is doing. Jesus is healing people, casting out unclean spirits. But yet what we hear in these passages is not about what he is doing. What we have is about what he is saying. There isn't a miracle thrown in here to help the teaching. Think about this. Jesus is the message. The message is miracle free. What matters is not the miracle. What matters is what Jesus is saying. Here again, these words from Luke. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you now who are laughing, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." Think about this. Blessed and woe. Blessings and a warning. It's really difficult to figure out where to go in this passage. Do you take each one in turn? Do you break it down, or do you first look at the difference between woe and condemnation? You see, what we have here is a failure to communicate. On the one side here, we have people who are blessed, who are weeping, poor, hungry, hated, and reviled on account of God. And the other side, we do not have condemnation. It is so easy for us to mistake Jesus' teaching of woe to you. Woe to you as a condemning of people. He is not condemning, but presenting a warning for those who are rich, full, and have all speaking well of them. Each one here is blessing and woe. Now, if you'll allow me a little side salad before the main course, let's delve a little further into that lack of condemnation. Think about it this way. And I realize Christmas is long gone. Ebenezer Scrooge is visited by his partners, the Marley brothers. I'm talking from the Muppet Christmas Carol, of course. It's the one I have to watch every Christmas. I put it on the kids, but it's really me. He's visited by Jacob Marley. And what is it that Jacob says to Scrooge? Woe to you, Ebenezer. Woe to you for how you behave. Woe to you. Change your ways. You will be visited by three ghosts. Woe to you is the message to Scrooge. It's a warning, a call. The Marley brothers have been condemned. Ebenezer versus Marley. That is the difference between woe and cursed are you. I don't think I could get away with a four-letter word there, but there are several layers here in this passage. Several layers of talking. First, there is the layer of the general people who have gathered. Then there's the layer of the disciples. Please to note, there's a crowd of disciples. Last time I checked, 12 people were not a crowd. But the difference here is not there is the crowd, there is the believers, and then there is the disciples. You know, when you watch those guys on the NFL say where they went to college, there's always those guys went to the Ohio State University. I don't know if there's another Ohio State University, but so essentially there are the three groups. There is the greater crowd. There is the disciples, the 12 disciples. And then there is the group of believers, the disciples who followed Christ. The group, the larger gathering. So Jesus is addressing his teaching not just to the disciples, but specifically, pointedly to them, to those believers who are following him. The first blessing and warning together is, blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Then comes, woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Now think of this in terms of a then and now sort of concept. You have now received your reward. You currently have your reward and your wealth. However, the poor do not have their reward yet. It is a warning delivered to those who are rich to use their wealth, for the growth of the people, to help others, to not, as Jesus often teaches, save and build storehouses of their own, but to generously give. It's a warning that those who are filled might someday not be filled. It's a warning that those who are celebrating and laughing may someday weep. It's a warning that yes, while some speak well of them now, there may soon come a day when they will not be so well spoken of. The fact is, there's quite a bit going on here. The crux of this passage, though, the big piece, is the difference between blessed and woe. Not in terms of the difference, the distance between them, but the difference in who and where people are when they are blessed. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor who can't buy food. Blessed are the poor living check to check. I hate to say it, but that does not sound like they are so blessed. The world teaches us that blessed are the rich. Blessed are those who have things. Blessed are those who are laughing, not those who weep. The fact is, here we have God saying plainly that those who are least amongst the blessed, in terms of how the world sees it, are in fact those who are blessed. Now, let me posit something for you. It's less that the rich are not blessed. It is less that the full are not blessed. But it is far, far harder for them to see their blessings. Think about this. When you are weeping, is it not easier to see how blessed you are? When you are hungry, is it not easier to see how blessed you are? It is so much easier to see how God is sustaining you when that is what you have, and that alone. Let me give you an example, and I don't have tissues, so pardon me. In 2014, our family was expecting to bring a baby home. His name was Luca. He was big. And when I say big, I mean we're talking over 9 pounds. He's big. Good Croatian baby. And then Sarah said to me that morning that something didn't feel right. Okay, we'll take you to the hospital. I'll drop Liam off. So I did. And then I got up to the hospital room. And we waited. We waited for the doctor, who came and did a sonogram and very point-of-factly told us, well, we're not getting a heartbeat. Pretty sure he's gone. Sorry. And then walked out of the room. In that moment, I could not feel any less blessed. And yet, I know now how blessed we were. The next few moments, the next few hours, the next day is a blend of tears and pain, of questions and moments that I rightly at this point can't put into order. At some point, I talked to each one of my siblings and told them what had happened. And every one of them, in their way, talked to me, comforted me. Some are a little more comforting than others. And then people started to show up. My sister, my older sister, drove 2 hours, dropping everything, taking her son out of school, and making it to be there for us. My phone and time started filling up with other family members calling me, checking in on me, making sure I was okay. Sarah's family descended on the hospital. And when I say descended, I mean there was a rule of 2 people in the room that I literally think my father-in-law was going to fight a nurse if they enforced it. The fact is, suddenly people came out of the woodwork for us. Food started appearing out of nowhere in the room. And though I didn't have any appetite, and neither did Sarah, those who were gathered for us were fed. Even in that horrible moment in the delivery room, when I got to see my son, I was blessed. Because even though my son was gone, I knew that he was with God. The fact is, it kept on going that day. We got calls and a slip of paper saying, by the way, don't worry about cooking. Okay, what do you mean? And then meals started showing up. The fact is, at this very lowest point for Sarah and I, we know how blessed we were. It's not easy to see how blessed you are when things are going well. It's not easy even to see when you are laid low how blessed you are. But the fact is, no matter how low things are, you are always blessed. You just have to be able to see the blessings. I can't make any of us not go low and experience low points. I can't allow us to not go through grief, loss, times of need. But I can tell you that no matter how low you are always going to be blessed. Because in the end, not only do you have a community of faith around you, a community who would love nothing more than to wrap their arms around you and love you. No matter who you are, you have a loving God who wants nothing more than you to understand that God is with you, that God loves you. The fact of the matter is, blessings flow as we sing. And we might not see them in the moment, but we can always know that they are there and that God will always bless us. Brothers and sisters, count your blessings. No matter how good things are, no matter how bad things are, count your blessings. And let your brothers and sisters bless you. Amen. Let us now respond to God.